ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम फिफ्थ कैंटो Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 38. It's a big prose, so I'll just read translation and purport. The path of this material world is full of material miseries, and various troubles disturb the conditioned soul. Sometimes he loses, and sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy, maintaining his family. And sometimes he is overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path, he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Purport. By thoroughly analyzing materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul, under illusion, wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness. But the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandya jane raja yena nadite chubhya. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness. But sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned prisoner is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment. But he feels a little comfort when he is taken out of the water. This is situation with the conditioned soul. All the shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly persons. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Shastra Koy, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 22.54. Even by little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna Consciousness Society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. Hare Krishna. So here in this verse, we are quite close to the end of descriptions. Actually, it is the last verse describing the miseries of material world. For past month or two, we have seen or heard thoroughly with many beautiful examples that how this material world is a place of miseries, and how various family, friend, wealth, society, job, everything ultimately gives us trouble. And in today's verse, Shri Jad Bharat is summarizing the miseries of material world and is changing topic to the next stage of how to get out of it, is the association of devotees. And we see that in today's verse. So, Srila Prabhupada also says in first canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that it's impossible for anyone to be happy in this material world. Sometimes, although we may try to become happy, and this is not some pessimistic idea, but sometimes when we are dealing with facts, then we have to speak the truth. It may appear to be pessimism or optimism. There is no point in becoming optimistic that, oh, in the desert I will find a big river like Ganga. It's not possible. Like, it's not optimism, it's foolishness. If somebody says, oh, in a big desert I will find a, in a maybe Sahara desert, somebody may say, I will keep on trying. I will not give up. I will try to find Mother Ganga or a river like Ganga in Sahara desert. Or maybe I will try to find some, like, that is imaginary things, flower in the sky or all these things. So it's not intelligence or optimism or pessimism. We have to accept some facts. Certainly for those who are quite intelligent, they can easily understand this material world is a place of misery. And as it is told in this verse, that whatever happiness is available, so-called, is actually nothing but some gaps in between the miseries. Some gaps are allowed so that the human being can keep his life. And just like that punishment of king and that prisoner is there, king can easily drown him. But then the punishment will end, at least in this life. If the king drowns him, the punishment will end, at least in this life. So king troubles him, and when he's about to die, king's men, they take him out. So that he's not been taken out of the water to give him some happiness. But he's taken out of water so that he can remain alive to suffer more. The king takes him out of the water to keep him alive so that he can suffer more. Similarly, if this material world becomes completely of misery and just worst of all possible cases, then human life, they will just die very quickly. But that is not there are a lot of karmas to come over. So sometimes there is some gaps between some miseries, which the human beings think that he is getting some happiness, so that he can maintain life in the hope of upcoming happiness. Or upcoming gaps in the miseries, he can maintain his life. But actually, the relief from drowning in the water is given by the king, not to give him happiness, but to keep him alive, to give him more suffering. Similarly, Maya Devi gives us some gaps between the miseries, so that soul gets hope, yeah, some happiness may be there. Something was available last time, maybe something more will come this time, in the sense of happiness. But all what happens in these whole attempts of trying to search for happiness within this material world, searching for happiness is not bad. That is natural and actually a sign of intelligence. But searching for happiness within this material world, ultimately again and again goes on failing. Those who are not very intelligent, they don't realize it. Those who are little intelligent, they may understand it, but they can't change themselves. They just think this is the way of life. Some happiness, some misery. Some people, they have this philosophy. But no, why should there be some happiness, some misery? If we don't want it, why we should accept it? We want always happiness, so we should try to settle for something less. If we, just in short, we'll analyze today, just remind ourselves of the miseries of this material world. It's very obvious, this material world is a place of misery. We are living in a big polluted city, Bombay. We are diseased body. All of us have some types of diseases. Then there are various new diseases like TB, cancer, AIDS, which is going to touch everyone. Then dirty fumes, smells, terrific sewage systems. Everything in this material world, the whole physical condition is very bad. Then people are also bad, envious people. They're like mosquito bites. We heard in the beginning of this narration that insects biting in the forest are like envious people who try to sting you when you are trying to progress. Enemies, exams, then job hunts, then job frustration, then job laying off, then again job hunt, then cruel boss, less pay. This less pay is always a problem. Any amount of pay, it appears to be less pay. And then inflation, falling interest. This material world will design newer and newer techniques to make us more and more miserable. But somebody may say, whatever you discussed up till now are the problems for those who are economically little weaker side or not very powerful. But those who are economically powerful, they are different sets of problems. Loneliness, insecurity. They think everyone is their friend only to cheat them, so no one is their friend. And then spoiled sons or sons fighting among themselves for some property. Now you see, those who may be financially strong, diverse, and then ultimately old age and death is there for everyone. So even if we have billions of rupees, this material world, we should understand, is a place of misery. Some people, those who are karmakandi, we find very rarely nowadays, but some people may get attracted by the descriptions of heavenly planets. And if somehow the modern day human being can be convinced of heavenly planets, certainly he will make that his aim. Because it is so wonderful, so perfect as compared to the material world. The foods are nectarian, succulent, juicy, tasty. Life is very long. The senses are full of strength. The old age is very shortened or almost not there. The gardens and the mansions are beautiful. No pollution, no traffic jam, no increasing rate of fuels. They are wonderful machines, aeroplanes. They fly at their will. Suddenly, heavenly planets appear to be very, very beautiful compared to the strength is there. Physical beauty is so much on the heavenly planets. But ultimately, we should understand that wherever we go, there are different sets of problems. Indra is always fearing that some demon will attack him. Some rishi is becoming powerful than him. Another man in the Swarga has ran away with some apsara. So all these problems Indra also has to face. He is also full of anxiety. In same terms, so those who are intelligent should understand that this material world is always not a place for a gentleman to live in. And even though we may have some so-called, we may have a big gap between two miseries comparatively. We may have very nice condition, good, everything good, 30 years, 40 years, big gap. Generally it's very rare, but suppose somebody may have a big gap between two miseries. But still, that's not intelligence. Because from the point of view of eternity of soul, that big gap is very short. And secondly, we should understand that actually the real misery in this material world is not any of this miserable condition which we just discussed. We discussed so many miserable conditions up till now, but that is not the real misery in this material world. The real misery is only one in this material world. Or in that is the real misery wherever we are. That is forgetfulness of Krishna. The real pain the soul is getting, the real suffering the soul is getting because it has forgotten Lord Shri Krishna. And whatever happiness that comes in between are illusory. Just like we are discussing, since time immemorial we have forgotten Lord Shri Krishna, so we are not able to remember. And for that we can take the example of a small boy, baby, who is just few years old, a year or 2 year old. And then suppose he is lost from his parents in the marketplace. And when he realizes that I am lost from my parents, he starts crying. And then he cries, and then somebody finds him up. And he starts crying. And they want to search for their parents, but still they are not able to get. So we will now concentrate on the baby. He is crying. Somebody wants to make him peaceful, so he may give him lollipop or some ice cream. Take this, baby may get it. And his crying will subside for some time. He may be crying but also eating ice cream, thinking, oh, it is nice enjoyment. And then after the ice cream is over, when he is again reminded that, oh, where are my father and mother, he again starts crying. Then somebody will come and give him some nice toy to play with. So he may play with the toy. And sometimes the toy breaks, he may be miserable. But as soon as he is away from the toy, he again gets reminder, oh, I am lost from my father and mother. So he again starts crying. Then somebody may come up and give him some another thing to play with. So he may again play with that. His crying may subside for some time. And again, when he is reminded, oh, I have lost my father and mother, he starts, this is how actually it happens in this material world. In the sense, with the boy, with babies, who are lost from their parents. The baby cries, but sometimes when some things are given, they forget temporarily that they are separated from their mother and father. And when it goes on for a few years, they forget their parents. But the real pain remains with them for an orphan. That I don't, or orphan or for a lost child. That I don't know my parents. This real pain never goes away. But within that, he tries to find out happiness with the toy or some ice cream. And when the ice cream is over, he feels miserable. When the toy is broken, he feels miserable. When he gets a toy, he feels happy. So this is our illusory happiness or suffering within the real suffering. That is, he has lost his parents. But because it goes on for a long time as a child grows up, he forgets that he had his own parents. He forgets. And similarly, the soul trying to play with ice cream and a toy and a ball and some coins and some keychain in this world, like the babies play with all these things. Doing it for a long, long time, the baby forgets his parents. Although that inner feeling sometimes when he thinks, who are my parents? Even if a grown-up child, if he's an orphan, he thinks, where are my parents? He cannot actually forget that. But then again, he says, okay, let me go. Let me take care of my job or my family. But again, if he sits and thinks peacefully, he's again reminded of his, where are his parents? Similarly, the real misery within this material world is not lost money or bad health or polluted city or bad smell or fumes which we discussed up till now. Or the real pleasures are also not heavenly life, succulent food, healthy body. They are just ups and downs within this material world. As I said, these dualities will come and go. The real pain in this world is that we have forgotten Lord Shri Krishna. And only real happiness is when we get back the Supreme Father and the Supreme Mother. Only then with the child really will be, all his happiness will have meaning only when he finds out his own parents. Therefore, we should understand this material world is just for us to be there. But ultimately, we have to make the aim of going away, getting away from this world. And people are very much attached to this world, and how can they get out? Here, Jadavatar is telling, only when somebody comes in contact with devotees and takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one can get out of the clutches of material world. Therefore, these devotees, Supreme Lord sends them specifically so that they can deliver the material world. Today, Srila Narottam Das Thakur's disappearance day. His appearance is there in the month of Magh, Purnima. He appeared in a place called Khetri, which is just across the border in Bangladesh right now. And we know even before he appeared, once Lord Chaitanya, we know he took a famous tour to Ramkeli to meet Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. At that time when he was traveling on this bank of Padma River near Ramkeli, Gambhila, while walking, he just suddenly started running and dancing ecstatically. And started shouting, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And he was doing, like, continuously shouting Narottam's name for a long time. And people could not understand what's happening. Why Lord Chaitanya is chanting the names of Narottam again and again. But then some devotees could understand. And they told that we could understand that surely, in short time, across the Padma River on the other side, a great saint, a great soul of the name Narottam is going to come. And when Lord Chaitanya was returning from Kanainashara and Kheta and Ramkeli, he went to Kheturi on that bank. And he took bath in the Padma River there. And when Lord Chaitanya took bath, the river swelled up. And Padma River, Mother Padma, personified, she came in front of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told her that today I am depositing my Krishna Prem, my love of God in you. And in short time, in future, a boy named Narottam will take birth here. And when he comes and takes bath, when he comes here, you give this Krishna Prem to him. Up till that time, you protect it. Mother Padma asks, but how will I know who is Narottam? Lord Chaitanya said, okay, when he comes here and takes bath in you, just like you have no swelling, overflowing without any cause, when I took bath, when he takes bath, you will also again swell and overflow without any apparent cause of rains or something like that. So at that time you understand that Narottam has come and you give him my love of God. And Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu that you see to it that at the right time, Narottam will come and take bath in this Padma River. After that time, Lord Chaitanya went ahead. He went to Vrindavan and he disappeared. Then, there was a king in the Kheturi Gram. King in the sense, sub-king. Main king was Navabhushan Shah. But sub-king, his name was Krishnananda Dutta. He was a big king of a whole area of Kheturi and surrounding area of Bengal. Like he had all the powers of king on behalf of Nawab. He was practically collecting taxes, giving judgments, everything. And one day in the month of Magh, his wife's name was Narayani Devi. Narottam was born. As soon as he took birth, everyone could see that he is a special personality just by looking at his effulgent body, beautiful bodily features. All the marks of 32 marks of a great personality were present on him. And when astrologer came, astrologer was called to make his chart and then give him a name. Then he predicted that this boy, by seeing at his features and his chart, I can understand that this boy is a special personality. He is the best of all the human beings. And therefore, he should be named Narottam. And when everyone heard, everyone was very joyful and they started chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and gave him the name Narottam. Then as Srila Narottam was growing up more and more, then at that time, at the same name giving ceremony, there was a festival which was held to give, that was first grains feeding ceremony. So because he was a king, Krishnananda Dutta arranged a big festival and many people came and thousands of people were there. And then Krishnananda Dutta took some grains and about to feed Narottam, who was just a few months old baby, few weeks old. At that time, Srila Narottam Das Thakur was just baby, tightly closed his mouth and he just turned away his face from the grains. And Krishnananda Dutta was again and again trying to feed him prasad from various sides. But Narottam Das Thakur would turn away the face. It was a serious problem because the whole festival was there just for Narottam Das Thakur to accept the first grains. And then he would just not accept. But then the astrologer was there. And he said that he is such a great devotee that he would not eat anything other than Krishna Prasad. So immediately Krishnananda Das offered that grains to the Supreme Lord Krishna and brought it. And then Narottam Das Thakur ate a lot of Krishna Prasad. Seeing this, his father, he said, from today onwards, I promise that I will make an arrangement that this boy will not eat anything but Krishna Prasad since his childhood days. From his first grains eating ceremony, then Narottam Das Thakur was eating only Krishna Prasad. Then he grew up, he was a very intelligent student, I'll tell some past times in short and then later past times in a bit detail, one or two of them. Then he grew up, we know some of them. He was a very intelligent student. And then at the age of 12 or 14, there are different opinions, Lord Nityananda came into his dream. And Nityananda told him that you get up right now and go to Padma and take bath. But before that, I'd just like to mention, in the village of Khetur, there was one Brahman named Krishna Das. He was very old Brahman and he was an associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So every day Narottam Das Thakur would call him to his home and Brahman would come and would request the Brahman, please tell me all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Please tell me all the pastimes of Lord Nityananda and all their associates. And this Krishna Das would come daily and for hours he would tell the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Advaita Acharya and all his associates, Gadadhar Pandit, and Sri Narottam Das Thakur would spend his days hearing those pastimes. Then later on at the age when Nityananda Prabhu came to his dream and told that you go and take bath at this Padma river. Immediately, it was very early in the morning, before even sunrise, quite before sunrise, Narottam Das Thakur woke up from the dream. He did not wait for a second and just walked off to the place on the bank of Padma river where he was directed to and went and took bath early in the morning. Immediately the river swelled and Mother Padma came and told that Lord Chaitanya also himself appeared actually. And he embraced Narottam Das Thakur and said, this is my own love for Supreme Lord. Please accept it. And in this way Narottam Das Thakur, he became a completely changed personality. In fact, when he took birth, he was having a dark complexion. But when Lord Chaitanya embraced him, when he received this love of God, he became a golden complexion. And then he came out of the river. There is still that tamal tree where under which he sat down, crying and chanting the names of God, completely in madness of love of Godhead. And when in the morning, his parents woke up and they went to wake up Narottam Das Thakur, then he was not there. And the parents were quite worried. They were kings. They sent out ministers and generals in all directions, all over their country, kingdom, to search for Narottam. Till evening, there was no report. Then somebody came in the evening and told, oh, there is some boy just nearby, maybe a kilometer or two away, sitting on the banks of Padma river and continuously crying and chanting the holy names. Immediately, all the parents, king and Queen Narayani Devi, they came and they could understand that this is same Narottam, but still he has changed. He never looked the same. He has changed his color, his appearance has become golden, and still he is continuously crying his holy names. Somehow they are in the same state, Narayani Devi and Krishnananda Datta, they brought back Narottam to their house, but since that time Narottam Das Thakur was completely incoherent in his behavior and relationships. He was continuously chanting the holy names of Lord and crying in ecstasy. Some other his parents thought that he is getting much detached from this material world. And only way we can keep him at home is to immediately get him married. So they started searching for a proper wife. And when Sri Narottam Das Thakur understood, he left his home and started running haphazardly. A zigzag way. He did not follow one route so that no one could trace him. He ran for 12 continuous day and night, and then he stopped and looked back. Is somebody following me? When he saw that no one is following, he sighed relief, and then he still walked this way, that way. He took the most rare path which no one would generally use and reached to go to Vrindavan. So in this way he ran. Then there are many pastimes of his studies under Jiva Goswami, how they all got the books from Vrindavan to Bengal, and then Khetri festival where Mother Janva personally came. And then all these pastimes are there. But now, because this purport deals with the pastimes, that how touch of devotees can change, bring a miraculous change in the lives of conditioned soul, I'll just take 5 or 6 minutes more. Is it okay? Just 5 minutes more because we also started late. We'll go to discuss some pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, especially his preaching activities. Before that, once when Narottam Das Thakur came to Khetudi Gram, he directly went to one granary, underground granary or overground, some granary, where there are lots of stocks of grains were there. It was worth many, many thousands of, like, I don't know what are that language, but that time the currency, but today's language, it was worth of millions of rupees. Stock was there. But somehow that whole granary, and it belonged to one businessman, he also knew it. But somehow that whole granary was infested with thousands or many hundreds and thousands of poisonous snake. So much so that no one could even go near it. And continuously the sound of snakes hissing was coming out of that granary. Immediately Narottam Das Thakur had said, there are some villagers observing him, started walking towards granary. And all the villagers shouted, no, no, don't go. You will not come back alive. It's an impossible place. Narottam Das Thakur said, no, I have got important work there. And I will go. Still people, they are trying to stop him. Please wait, don't go. But still Narottam Das Thakur walked straight. Actually, Lord Chaitanya had come into his dream and told him that you go inside as a deity of Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya. It requires a great faith to carry out such an order. That even though Lord Chaitanya ordered in the dream, but to go in a granary infested with thousands of poisonous snakes, maybe waiting for a prey. But Narottam Das Thakur went in. As soon as he went near the granary, he opened the doors which were closed for many, many years. As soon as he opened the doors, all the thousands of snakes, they came out. They all came out and went into the forest, never to return. Narottam Das Thakur very boldly entered the granary, went in deep inside, and directly found out the deities of Vishnu Priya and Lord Chaitanya, and brought him out. As soon as he came out with the deities in ecstasy holding them, all the people, they started, were very jubilant and started crying and chanting the holy names of Lord. In this way, his name and fame was increasing. He was preaching to Brahmanas and everyone. He was preaching Vaishnavism, devotion to the Supreme Lord, Ahituki. One day when he was in Khetudi, one Brahman came up to him. He was a devotee of Durga, Bhagavati. And he told, I was blaspheming you. I was criticizing you in all my talks and lectures. I was criticizing the Vaishnava philosophy. I committed many offenses against you. But then just see, I have become a big leper. And my mother, worshipable mother, Bhagavati Devi, she came into the dream and told me that because of all your offenses to Lord Chaitanya and Narottam Das Thakur, because of you criticizing the devotion, Vaishnava philosophy, you have got this leprosy. And only way that you can get away from this leprosy is that you go and surrender to Narottam Das Thakur. And therefore I have come to take shelter of Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Sri Narottam Das Thakur embraced him and started a big kirtan. And as soon as he embraced and started a big kirtan, his leprosy immediately went away. In this way, this Brahmin went back, and instead of preaching or criticizing the devotees, he started preaching devotional service. Then, one day, Narottam Das Thakur and I forgot one of his... Ram Krishna and Harira. Who was with Narottam Das Thakur? Ganganayan Chakravarti. One day, Narottam Das Thakur and Ganganayan Chakravarti, they're walking on the banks of Ganga River, and they saw two small boys, Ram Krishna and Hari Ram. Hari Ram was the elder. Hari Ram and Ram Krishna, they are herding some young, small baby cubs of goats and buffaloes. And this Narottam Das Thakur and Ganganayan Chakravarti, they saw potential that these boys can become very wonderful devotees. And there was no need to ask why they were herding these cubs of buffaloes and goats, because the time of Durga Puja was coming up. And suddenly they were being raised to offer to Durga Devi as a sacrifice. So taking pity on these two boys, who were very wonderful Brahmanas. They were the sons of Shaivacharya, who was also a Brahmana by birth. But he was a devoted worshipper of Durga Devi. So very close to those boys, Narottam Das Thakur and Ganganayana Chakravarti started discussing about Vaishnava philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, purposefully loud enough that these two boys can hear. And just by hearing Narottam Das Thakur and Ganganayana Chakravarti discuss, these two boys became completely convinced. And they came and surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. And they told, see, now we have become devotees. But you see, we are herding these cubs, and you know why we are doing this for. So what we should do? They said, we let them this free. So Narottam Das Thakur told, you give, let them free, let them go anywhere. And you two come with us to Kheturi. And Narottam Das Thakur took them to Kheturi, gave them nice training in Vaishnava philosophy for a few more days. And then told that you go back home. Your father is waiting. They said, yes, our father must be very angry that we have lost the cubs which are supposed to be offered to Durga Devi. And when he started going back home, their physician, father's physician, Balaram, they met Hari Ram and Ram Krishna on the way. They said, oh, where are you? Your father is angry like fire. But meanwhile, before going to meet the father, these two boys, they preached to Balaram maybe for a few minutes or a few hours, their physician. And Balaram, he became devotee, convinced devotee. He accepted Vaishnavism. But he said, whatever you are saying is good, but go and manage your father. He is very angry. As soon as these two boys came in for the father, Shaivacharya, he was very angry. He said, what nonsense? Where are the cows to be offered to Kali, Durga? And where you have been for so long time? And seeing their children becoming Vaishnav, his anger became double. First of all, you lost the cubs, and now you have become devotees of Vishnu or Krishna. What nonsense. If you have any guts, these are small boys. If you have any guts, I'll call the pandits of my assembly and they'll smash your philosophy to pieces. Immediately, Shaivacharya called the pandits from his assembly to discuss with Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. And Hari Ram immediately smashed all their philosophies to pieces. These pandits went to Shaivacharya and told, this Vaishnava philosophy is impossible to defeat. We can't do anything. Immediately, Shaivacharya, he summoned a very elaborate scholar, just like Digvijay, a Murari from Mithila. Mithila is a very big school of learning at that time, even today. Like Varanasi, Mithila, these are big schools of learning. He summoned a big Durga devotee, a big scholar from Mithila, a Murari. And he was very proud, opulent, wealthy, scholarly also in all the scriptures. He came to debate. But Hari Ram said, okay. He told Balaram, who he has preached only for a few hours, to debate with this Murari. And with this debate with this scholar, Balaram defeated him like anything. And seeing that this just new devotee has defeated me, his whole pride was crushed and he gave up his wealth and he became a beggar. So seeing this, that they are undefeatable, his father also asked, who is this Narottam Das Thakur? And then he also went, these two boys took his father to Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, Narottam Das Thakur was making Brahmanas as his disciple. And many Brahmanas were criticizing Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, who is this? He's a Kayastha. He's preaching to Brahmanas, making them his disciples. In this way, there were some envious people also. Before that, I would just like to tell some another pastime. In one village, although by birth a Brahmana, another person, he was named Chand Rai. He was a great dacoit. Although being born in a good family of Brahmana, because of bad association, he was most degraded. He did not consider even for a second before murdering people, looting people. He would do anything, all nonsense. Cutting heads, stealing people. In this way, he was very expert in all the weapons. He had a very strong body because of his mystic powers or because of his whatever tapasya. And in this way, all the dacoits, being afraid of him, came and surrendered to him. Just like all the asuras being afraid of Kamsa surrendered to Kamsa. We should not think that dacoits, when they become friends, they actually become friends. But just because they are very afraid, because one dacoit defeats another, or one asura defeats another, they become okay, good, good. Similarly, all the asuras which Kamsa had, Kamsa actually defeated all of them, and therefore they had surrendered to Kamsa. Similarly, Chand Rai, he defeated all the dacoits, came and surrendered to his team, being afraid of Chand Rai. In this way, he has amassed lots of amount of wealth, troubled many people, and become a big man. He was very powerful, no one could defeat him. But then one day, one Brahma Rakshas ghost came and entered him and started giving trouble from inside. And for this, Chand Rai had no solution. He had very powerful weapons, he had money, he could bribe everyone. But he did not know what to do with this ghost who is inside. And that ghost was giving him pain like anything. He could not sleep. He was under immense pain because of this ghost who had come inside him. His father called many tantrics, mantrics, exhaustionists to take this ghost out. But somehow or other, no one was able to do it. All of them failed. And they told that this ghost is very powerful. We could not do anything. Ultimately, Bhagavati Devi himself came and told that you should go and surrender to only Narottam Das Thakur can cure this Chand Rai. So immediately the father of Chand Rai sent a message to Narottam Das Thakur in Kheturi. He said, please come to my village and please cure my son from this Brahma Rakshas ghost. Actually the messenger who came, he was feeling miserable. He was thinking, this low class Chand Rai and his father, and they are calling Narottam Das Thakur, such a great saint. They are ordering him, please come and cure our son. Or some other, he gave the message. So Narottam Das Thakur was there with his disciples, Ganganayan Chakravarti, Hari Ram, Ram Krishna, everyone. And then he read the message. He said, what we should do? Shall we go? He said, whatever you decide, O Gurudev. Narottam Das Thakur sat in meditation for a few minutes, prayed to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you go, you don't worry. I'll personally deliver this Chand Rai. You go. And this Narottam Das Thakur said, we'll all go. And he came. And as he came and put his feet on the head of Chand Rai, immediately the Brahma Rakshas ghost, he started speaking. He said, both he and I have done many sinful activities. And we wanted to get delivered. And now that Narottam Das Thakur has come and put his feet, I pray that I take birth in my future birth in this Khetri Gram, so that I can become servants of his servants of his servants. And here I go out of this Chand Rai's body and free him. And the ghost went away. And Chand Rai, instead of becoming a dacoit again, became a very humble, gentle Vaishnav. Instead, previously he would kill people, torture them, cut their head. Now he was serving people. And the people were amazed at his transformation. Then, because of his envious activities, previously, one Yavan king, who was a great enemy of Chand Rai, as soon as he understood that Chand Rai had become a humble Vaishnav, immediately he sent his army to capture him. And they captured Chand Rai and got him. And this king, Yavan king, wanted to torture Chand Rai. So therefore he considered a special prison underground, below earth. And then he was put over there. There was no light, no air, nothing, no sanitation. But Chand Rai was completely blissful, chanting holy names. And this king was trying to torture Chand Rai, but Chand Rai was completely blissful. He was not getting torture or trouble. And his father was very in sorrow. Oh, my son has been captured by this Yavan king. So his father called a tantric and told him, if you go and get my son back out of this prison, I will give you a big amount of money. So this tantric came underground by his tantra into this prison and told, you have been sent by my father. I have been sent by your father. Sorry. And I come here to free you. And you can become free. Only thing you have to do is I will whisper in your ear a Devi mantra. And if you chant that mantra, by that power, we both can go back to your village immediately. This Chand Rai became very unhappy. Not unhappy, he became angry. Hey, you nonsense, what is this? I already surrendered my life to Narottam Das Thakur. And he has given me my Hare Krishna mantra. And I will not chant any other mantra. You nonsense, you go away immediately. And because Chandra did not chant this Devi mantra, this tantric was helpless. And he went back. And Chandra was just completely in bliss chanting the holy names. Although he was in a very miserable condition materially. Then this king called Chandra out. Hey, you, I am trying to trouble you so much. Torture you, but you are happy. You are blissful. How is it possible? Just because I received the mercy of my spiritual master and I am chanting the holy names, I am completely blissful. This Yavan king said, yes, no, I know. The only way is to kill you. And here Chandra was in chains. He was put on the ground. And a mad elephant, completely mad elephant, was sent to attack him, trample him. But Chandra was completely happy, chanting holy names. As soon as the elephant came close, Chandra held his tusk and the tusk came out and the elephant fell down dead. And this Yavan king, he was astonished. So how is this? He even did not try. He just held his tusk and the tusk came out and the elephant is killed. And before that, when the elephant was charging, Chandra was completely praying to Narottam Das Thakur. Oh Gurudev, I am your property. If you want, you protect me. If you want, you can kill me. Whatever you want, you can do with me. This Yavan king came up and he asked Chandra, how is it? From where you got these powers to kill this elephant? He said, no, I just prayed to my Gurudev Narottam Das Thakur. And by his mercy, this elephant is killed. So, seeing this, this Yavan king was frustrated and he gave up on Chandra. So he freed him. Said, you go wherever you want. Immediately Chandra first went to his Kheturi Gram to meet his spiritual master. And then he met him. His father was worried. Hey, why did my son did not send even a note? Why did he not come to my home? Why did he went to Kheturi Gram? So his father went to Kheturi Gram to meet his son, Chandra. He said, oh, my dear son, why did you not come to our village first? Or why did you not even send me a note? Are you nonsense? Why did you send that tantric to deliver me? To make me chant Durga Mantra? I have just taken shelter of Narottam Das Thakur. And his father also felt remorse and he also surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. And in this way, Narottam's fame was spreading far and wide. And another dacoits, they heard that our dacoit Chandra has become humble Vaishnav. So they, hundreds of them, came to Kheturi Gram to see actually this has happened. And they came, as they were approaching the village, Chandra went out to receive them. And he was offering obeisances to his dacoits. Previously he would meet them with upraised weapons. But now he's offering obeisances, serving them with water and prasad. And they understood that this Chandra has really changed. And Chandra also gave them some preaching, maybe a lecture or whatever it is. And there were hundreds of dacoits who had come to this Kheturi Gram, which was apparently a very unpleasurable scene. Just think if there are so many people around with arms and weapons, looking terrible on their horses. But because of Chandra's preaching, all these dacoits, they also surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, many Brahmanas, they were becoming very angry. And they're criticizing Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, who is this? All this nonsense. And then, one day, Narottam Das Thakur, he went to another village. And he ordered his disciples, all the prominent ones, that you set up a funeral pyre. No, I want to leave this material world. Some other with a heavy heart. And they set up a pyre. And before that, Narottam Das Thakur went into trance. And he laid down for 3 days. He was not awake. It appeared that he was in a coma. And then the disciples set him on a pyre. They could see there was no sign of life. So they put him on the funeral pyre. And they were about to set the pyre to fire. But then the Brahmanas, who were very proud, and they came and started criticizing. Just see the result of his all sinful activities. He is low born, and making Brahmana as his disciple, preaching against the worship of Mother Durga. Just see, he has received the results of all his sinful activities. What a miserable death. 3 days unconscious, in coma before dying. He could not speak. He could not express. And he has died such a low death. And the Brahmanas were criticizing. At that time, Ganganayan Chakravarti, he went to the funeral pyre and he spoke to the ears of Narottam Das Thakur. Said, please, these Brahmanas, they are criticizing you, committing offenses. Please do something to deliver them. And Narottam Das Thakur, he sat up after 3 days on the funeral pyre. And he said, let's have some festival. And they all started doing some kirtan. And all these Brahmanas, they also surrendered. And again, after some time, with few of his disciples, so Narottam Das Thakur, he came to a village named Budari. And there, he went and took bath into Ganga River. All of them took bath. And then he told his disciples, Ganganayan Chakravarti and others, that please message me. And as the disciples started messaging Narottam Das Thakur, his body started melting into milk. And in this way, Narottam Das Thakur, he disappeared into Ganga River again, from where he had received the Krishna Prem, which was reported to him by Lord Chaitanya. In this way, we can see, just by the touch of Narottam Das Thakur, hundreds and thousands of people, proud Brahmanas, low class dacoits, ordinary people, men, women, old, there are many more pastimes, old, all of them, they became wonderful Vaishnavas. So, in the future verses, Jad Bharat will tell the glories of associating with devotees, which we'll be hearing tomorrow and day after tomorrow, like that. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going quite over time. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki. And I've been told to announce